Well, thank you. Thanks for coming back for this. So the good thing is that all the any kind of nervousness and stuff I have worked out this morning, but I thought I'd better come over and talk to you guys over here because I spent all my time over at the podium and not over on this side. So, and I'm also the last speaker between you and lunch, which is always maybe a bad place to be, especially if you're hungry. But what I want to show, and I'm super excited, I'm the Senior Program Manager for Cortana Intelligence Solutions. The first place that we ever showed what we were doing was in Taipei last year, just over a year ago. And it was kind of the scary when, at that time, I woke up in the middle of the night and I sort of in a cold sweat and I go, well, if everybody follows me and runs the same thing at once, we're going to have this problem. And the good thing was, is we have this, you know, a year ago, we had this big spike of usage, which was from this conference, because there was about 100 and some people that actually logged on and used it as part of the hackathon. And so hopefully we'll convince you today that you use your Azure account or your work Azure account to go try this out. So this slide I had up this morning, so I won't keep it up here long, but basically my contact info, including if you want to get in touch with our broader team. I'm a program manager, and we have about 7 devs, a dev lead, and a manager of those devs. So we're a pretty small team. But back when I was here in Taipei, we were a team of like 4 people then, so our team has grown. So if you want to get a hold of the whole team, it's the cisolutions@microsoft.com, and then my information is up there. So this is a slide from the keynote, and what I like about it is over on the reason I put this in here is over on the top left, ingest, integrate, analyze, and deploy. When we look a little bit later, we actually use, you know, ingest, curate, and then there's analyze and maybe consume instead of deploy. But these are the things, like all these services we've been talking about. Power BI is a great tool all by itself. HD Insight, Azure Data Lake are great tools all by themselves, but they're much better together. And so what we do with Cortana Intelligence Solutions is we allow you to basically compose or use solutions that have all these different services composed together. So they're, you know, interactive dashboards and different things like you would have in Power BI and when we look at Time Series Insights today. They're flexible because you can deploy them. One of the things that we found is developers or people that work in the Microsoft field, you can actually go and deploy one of these solutions in 3 minutes to, you know, maybe 25 minutes, depending on how complex it is. And you can go out and you can do a demo or you can do a proof of concept, and then you can just delete it and destroy it at the end. So it's like it's gone. Now, the beauty of it is that you know that you can build another one in 3 to 25 minutes, and you don't have to worry about keeping it forever. So you can delete it and reuse it. And you can also use it as the basis to maybe build something that goes into production as well. So we also, for some of the formal solutions, we also have existing partners that are helping deploy these to customers. And also, if you're interested, if you're an SI and a partner of Microsoft, if you're interested in learning how to build some of these, or if you're interested in maybe supporting some of these here in Taipei, we'd be happy to talk to you about it. So as I mentioned, we have these end-to-end solutions. We'll look at a bigger copy of this in a bit, but you've got kind of an architecture, you know, starting with Twitter streaming, flowing into an event hub, going through stream analytics. Some of that data is being landed in blob storage for later batch processing. Some of it is calling a Azure machine learning algorithm, passing it to another event hub and into Time Series Insights, which was demoed during the keynotes yesterday, and then also going into SQL Server and then into embedded Power BI. Now, over on the far left side of everyone is actually the Cortana Intelligence Gallery. So there's a URL which we'll put up in a minute. And if you go to the solutions or the tutorials, that's where you'll find these various products that we're looking at today. So I think the best thing to do is start this out with a demo, and then we'll kind of do some overview afterwards. So let's actually start demoing this, because it's for me, it's pretty exciting. It's like a year after coming here for the first time. So here's all the solutions, or there's actually the 4 most recent solutions that have been added to the gallery. If you want to see all these, and basically I'll put the URL up in a second, but it's gallery.cortanaintelligence.com/solutions. If I click on the See All button, there's going to be 11 solutions. This product went public preview at Ignite last year. Whoops, I got no screen. That's probably good because it's taken a while to bring this. Maybe we lost the network. Yeah, my network's gone. That's what happened. Secured connect. My network just went south. And did that get loose? Okay. There we go. All right. We got the internet back. Now we'll get the picture back and all will be good. Okay, there we go. So anyway, it's good if the network fails and the slides fail at the same time, then it's like that's okay. So these are the solutions. So you can see various solutions here. There's a loan credit risk, which actually runs on a SQL Server and has R running on SQL Server 2016. So it's a virtual machine that you can use. It's a great way to learn about R services running on SQL Server. Personalized offers is there as well, which deploys a bunch of things, including Cosmos databases, which is what were formerly known as DocumentDB, so document stores. Campaign optimization is another 2016 virtual machine. This is actually using Azure HD Insight on Spark clusters. And then there's another one here. And then the ones at the bottom are probably more representative of ones that use multiple services. So you've got demand forecasting, price optimization, which is probably the hardest one to do. So if you have problems with this one, let me know, because you have to create a service principle on Azure. And anyway, there's multiple steps to it. So if you have feedback on that, give that to me. Quality assurance, vehicle telemetry or telemetry analytics has been around the longest, probably our most popular. Demand forecasting, predictive maintenance, and anomaly detection. On the tutorial side, and the one we're going to be focusing on today is this time series insights. We also have customer review analytics, which is actually done by the cloud team in China, and it actually uses natural language processing. It actually uses Java running in Azure Functions to do all of that work, and so that's awesome because it was the first one that was written in Java, and it's also our first natural language processing on the Chinese characters as opposed to the 26 character alphabet type of thing. The stuff that I based a lot of my demo on this morning was this data warehousing and modern BI that deploys a Hadoop cluster, it deploys SQL Azure Data Warehouse, it deploys Azure Analysis Services, it deploys Power BI, I believe, as well. So a lot of different things. And down here at the bottom, and I was talking to some folks before the session, and they were asking about Power BI and what was happening with reporting services. If you want to look at either the Windows Data Science Virtual Machine or the Linux Data Science Virtual Machine, the Linux Virtual Machine is not going to have Power BI on it, but the Windows one will. This has almost any tool that you would want to use if you wanted to use Jupyter Notebook Hub, if you wanted to use Rattle, and if you wanted to use R, and I think RStudio is on there or can be installed on there. So both of those, and this one is a Linux one. We also have an Ubuntu one, which should be there soon. I think the Ubuntu Linux Data Science Virtual Machine is going to replace the CentOS one. Now these are great. I use these for my UW class. I used to build these on Amazon Web Services as AMIs, and it used to take me tens of hours to build and maintain these, and now I actually can use these. Because in my course, I teach it across Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and AWS. But these are tremendous things to learn about data science and BI. And they've got the SQL Server is on the Windows one as well. Now, once you pick one of these, and we're going to look at Time Series Insights as an example, all you need to do is you got some information on what it's about. Also, check out this estimated cost. So this one costs about $12.45 a day to run. One of the other ones I mentioned earlier, including the modern BI one, that one costs more like $100 and some a day, just because of the number of services that are running. So we put the price up there so you know that maybe you're going to run it, check it out for a couple hours, and then delete it so that it's all gone. And so you don't sit there and like say you got a $200 or $100 subscription, it's kind of a trial subscription. You don't want to eat it all up, within the first day, type of thing. So all you need to do is, if you have an Azure subscription, or if you don't have one, you can actually request a trial one. It'll actually help you do that. And of course, the organization here has actually helped people get some of these as well. So some of you may have them already. So we can give it we'll call this one Dev Days. Dev Days 1. You pick your subscription. So I have this, our development subscription. I also then pick a location. Time Series Insights is available in, I think, 5 areas, and Azure Machine Learning is available in about 3 or 4. And right now, the only place where they intersect, which is because those are both used in this, is West Europe. So these all get deployed into West Europe. But in lots of the other ones, you may have several choices or in the tens or teens of choices of places to do that. You click on Create. Now, what this is doing is it's kicking off ARM templates. It's also using Azure Functions that you saw in the session earlier that Mark showed you. And basically what we do is we glue together sometimes multiple Azure Resource Management templates, which basically deploy services, and then we use functions to start services and do things that ARM can't do. And so in this case, it's going to ask me for username, and I'm going to put a password in, let me start typing some stuff. We also do credentials, so that you have to put in a valid SQL Server credential. So it gives you some information. You can click on the little eye here and you can see what it is. So now let me put in my real one. Okay, and then click on next. Now, if there's additional parameters, like this is going to ask us for SQL or for our Twitter topics. You can see here I've got a bunch of Twitter topics which are kind of dev-based. I then need to put in my consumer keys, and I won't go through this, but essentially your consumer keys, if you've ever gone out to Twitter, as an example, if I go to... There's my social media, Twitter app management. So if you go to apps.twitter.com, so if you have a Twitter user, and actually this would be a good time. Like if you use Twitter, please tweet out to, you know, #DevDaysAsia2017 or #AzureIoT, and then we'll actually look at some of those tweets if you want to do that. But basically when you create a Twitter application, it's going to give you, like for instance, if I scroll down and find my one for this event, you click on it and you have to do some setup, but essentially I've got my keys and tokens here, and basically these are the things that I have to put into this page here. And I would enter those and I would click on next, and now it starts to build all this stuff. So now we're going to jump ahead a little bit. This is kind of like the cooking show. You know, my wife is a big, there's a television, I think they're called Scripps Network, but they have what's called HGTV, and she loves it. It's, you know, house renovation and cooking shows. And in those shows, they always, you know, do something, and then they jump ahead, way ahead to the finished product. So I'm not going to make you guys wait for 15 minutes for this to run, but when it runs, it ends up being deployed, and we'll talk about coming back later. The way that I have some slides to talk about this, but if you wanted, let's say this is expensive and you wanted to delete it after you're done with it, you just highlight it in this interface, you click on Cleanup Deployments, and then click on Cleanup, and that basically removes all those resources and deletes the resource group over on the Azure side. So, but right now we don't want to delete it, we want to show it. So when this is done, because these are made from ARM, which is based on JSON, they're using Markdown language. So this is actually Markdown using the outputs of the ARM templates. And then we also use Azure Functions and Web Jobs, and essentially those are and XML. So there's a manifest that drives the order that these things get done. In here, you get sort of instructions of what you need to do next. It gives you an idea of, if you've never used Time Series Insights before, it tells you where you have to go, how you basically create a user, and that type of thing. It shows you where the Power BI report is. If you click on these, for instance, if I click on the machine learning experiment, it's going to take me to the Azure machine learning workspace, which was made specifically for this solution, and then you're going to see that experiment here in a second. It's going to open up. So this is the machine learning experiment that basically takes data coming from Twitter, passes it through the reader, and then basically looks at sentiment. So if we look at the stuff coming out here, let's do visualize, maybe. Click on the right thing. So we've got a sentiment label and the tweet coming through. And then at the bottom of this, when it comes out at the other end on the web service, when it's connected to Stream Analytics, it's essentially going to pop out what the sentiment score is, and whether it's positive, neutral, or negative. So basically, I can take that tweet, and the machine learning algorithm is going to give me some idea whether that person is talking positive or negative. And again, Twitter, I always cringe a little bit when I demo Twitter and hope that there's not a whole bunch of bad words. If I go to a tweet and say, look at these tweets, hopefully today there's nothing in there. There shouldn't be. These topics tend to be fairly, hopefully everybody's positive and not the latter. So that's what gets used. Now, over on the time series insight side, because I had some of the folks came up between the session, they said, you know, if I have streaming data that's coming in and I'm using Power BI, I can only do, you know, 8 refreshes a day. And of course, you can do stream analytics, sort of live streaming into Power BI, and that's an option as well. But this is using time series insights, and you can see here I've actually saved a particular something that's called a perspective. So you can save perspectives, and you can also save queries. And so we're in the perspectives right now. Now, I want to give you an idea what this looks like from scratch, because hopefully some people have been sending some tweets, and if not, we've got lots of tweets out here already. So this has got, so what Time Series Insights is a column store database, so very similar to the time series historians that are out there. It's a column store database and visualization built on top of it. And you can see here, we've got a whole bunch of tweets. I started this some time ago. This was actually building sensors, so this one was done by somebody else. Here's some stuff I did for build. I was on Channel 9 and did some tweets on build. Here's sort of manufacturing data that we used at Hanover Messe. But here's the dev days stuff. So this is dev days. You can see here, I've been collecting tweets for a little bit over a day. So let's take this and let's grab all these tweets, and then let's just search on them. Now, we just brought back 228,000 rows that quickly. You can kind of see that this is events. We can actually split these events. If we kind of want to see this, let's split these by topic. Okay, so here's the topics. And you can see IoT is here. There's big data. There's Pound Microsoft. Here's dev days, which is kind of a flat line on the bottom. I know that at least two tweets are out there because I've tweeted twice to this. But that's basically the whole time. Now, if I wanted to zoom in on this, I can actually grab data and I can click on zoom. It's going to zoom on that particular area. So now we're looking at 32-minute time spans here. I can also change this. Let's change this to seconds and see if it'll go down to seconds. It may not drop that low. But you can see here, this is actually now at the second level. And now if you see this, if this looks really interesting, you can actually go and you can zoom in further. So this is great if you're an analyst and you're analyzing real streaming data. This is, I don't know if you guys are familiar, there's sort of IT, which everybody knows about, information technology, and then there's OT, which is operational technology. I used to work for a utility, and the operational side of the house tends to be non-IT people, and they tend to sometimes be unionized, and versus IT tends to not be unionized. And when I worked in the utility, we had substations for the power grid. So we had 120 substations in Snohomish County, and they used to lock each other out, and they would fight, and there was all that. Basically, the OT guys hated the IT guys. It was just a bad scenario. So this is more of an OT technology. This is a technology that would be used by somebody in manufacturing who's watching the assembly line, somebody in that's working in a utility that's looking at the grid and what's happening. Now, hopefully it's something that the IT people and the OT people can use together, but it is more of an operational technology. As the data comes streaming in, you can basically get refreshes in all the time. Now, if you want to look at some of the tweets as well, we can basically say explore events. And when we explore the events, right now we're going to look at about 1,300 records. There we are. These are the tweets, and you can see the timestamp, the language, the score. And you can basically see all the tweets. You can also look at it kind of on a stats basis and get some various charts that may be helpful or not helpful, depending if you like pie charts or not in this case. But this is a really nice tool to be able to do that. Now let's go back again to the beginning here. And let's grab sort of the most recent slice and see if we get anything that's... Okay, we're going to search. And we're going to split this by, let's go over here so it doesn't go off the screen. Split this by topic. Okay, so it's just big data is the only topic that we got right there. Well, it's because we got a topic. Let's take this out and apply. There you go, that predicate. So now we do have some dev days. Looks like there's a little bump right here. So I'm going to actually go in here. I'm going to zoom in on this. So we got about 146 records. Let's find that dev days. There it is here. So let's see if it's my tweet or somebody else's. I'm going to zoom in on that. And the same thing. Okay, so now I'm pretty sure that I'm going to just get my tweet. We're going to explore events and go back to events. You can see we got a couple. So there's IoT, there's dev days, and so just that one. So there, somebody did. So this is if for those, for somebody from the Bangkok time zone. So somebody here in the room is basically tweeted. Now this is great. Now you could also sell this to your marketing department, because wouldn't the marketing people like to kind of see this type of thing, social sentiment maybe coming in real time as well. And it's a very reasonable priced technology and can scale like crazy. Like it's a column store, and basically you can have, you know, it'll handle IoT type workloads of data coming in. Now, if we compare that to the Power BI Embedded, this is also nice, but this is basically doing refreshes against SQL Server, and of course you can interact with it. But this is kind of the scenario where this is a tool that's made more for reporting and sort of standard BI versus the other tool, which is more of an operational tool. We've already looked at the experiment, so let's actually go look at what this looks like under the covers. So we'll come in here. When you deploy one of these, you'll see this resource group. When you click on the resource group, this is going to open up the Azure portal. Now, what you can do by using one of this, let's say you wanted to use this at work, and you say, oh, this is pretty cool, but I want to change this. I want to rip out the Twitter piece. You could actually replace some of the Event Hub components, or take the existing Event Hubs and point them to some of your other data. But this is everything that we have. So we have essentially a storage account, a couple of Event Hubs, a SQL Server and SQL Server database, time series insights, both there's a source and the actual one itself. There's a machine learning workspace, a stream analytics job. We're going to talk more about stream analytics tomorrow. If you want to talk about IoT Hub and stream analytics and Event Hubs, we're going to do that tomorrow. But you can see if we look at the stream analytics job, it has one input, which is coming from the Event Hub. So there's this Twitter stream that's coming from Event Hub. It has a query. And so basically it has a query that basically goes out and says, I want the text, the topic, the date, the result, and the score, and I want to put that into the SQL output. And then the next one, it takes that and it puts it into the EH processing output. That actually goes into the time series insights. And then another one that goes into storage. And these queries, you can change these queries and you can roll them up. Tomorrow we'll talk about how you can use Stream Analytics running on an edge device. So a combination of IoT Hub and Stream Analytics running on the edge, maybe close to where your devices are. And that can basically reduce the amount of data, do some aggregation, only send back data that you can legally send and leave the other stuff behind. And maybe it pushes that stuff up into the cloud. But we'll talk about that more tomorrow. So anyway, I wanted to show you that. The other one that I showed this morning is this data warehousing and modern BI. And if we look at it, as I mentioned, it's $131.49 is what it would cost to run for 24 hours, because it has a Hadoop cluster with, I think, four nodes. It has a SQL Azure data warehouse. It has a bunch of other technologies, analysis services, all those things running that you can kind of see here in the diagram. Power BI, it's got SQL Server, it's got Data Factory, Blob Storage, HD Insight, Relational Database, IaaS, SQL Server 2016 running as well. So anyway, so that's what we do with these solutions. Let me do from this slide, we'll get back to the slides a little bit. These were in the keynote, so I wanted to put them in and talk a little bit about the things that Time Series Insight helps out with. And so, you know, data is stuck and siloed in certain places. If you have, if you have telemetry data that's coming from Internet of Things devices, or, telemetry from applications or from web logs, Definitely using these technologies to make it available and using something like Time Series Insights so people can look at it in more real time is nice. There's not a lot of significant coding to this, right? It's you could take what the solution does, make some changes or learn from it and build one from scratch. But basically you're taking, you know, probably something that is JSON or you turn into JSON, you're processing it in some way, and then you're, you know, deciding what your JSON schema looks like and pushing it into this. And that's essentially, it's fairly schema dynamic in that way. And if you want to change it, you can make those changes. Remind me too, I want to go back. Mark showed when you look at a function, I want to show you what our function looks like and then actually go show you how you can go in and change the app settings. Because maybe right now, you know, you deploy this and it takes 15 minutes. And right now you're interested in tweets about this event, about dev days. But maybe on Monday when you go back to the office, say you deploy this sometime this week, you say, oh, well now, because it only, you know, it's not super expensive per day to deploy. Then you say, well, I don't want to look at these tweets anymore. I want to look at tweets for my company, or I want to look at tweets for my favorite hobby or whatever. My son is a professional soccer player, so I follow him, and sometimes I follow, you know, check him out and see if people are saying, you know, what they're saying about him on Twitter and stuff like that, which is always interesting as a parent, because when you're doing that type of thing, people say good things and bad things. And then, you know, basically visualize IoT scale data and lots of different scenarios to this. Let's build this out. So these are some of the use cases. Again, the reason that I use Twitter is that I don't have, you know, if I had a bunch of devices that were IoT devices, I would love to do that. I could probably get some Raspberry Pis and send something up, or have a fan and do fan speed and hook it up and have something that's more like a device. But the nice thing about Twitter is Twitter is a really nice stream of data. It's free, and it's also dynamic to whatever you want it to be. So if it, you know, if you're interested in a particular sport or a particular you know, art or a particular company, maybe your competitors, you can actually look at your companies that you compete against, and you can follow them and see what people are tweeting about them. So it's just a nice way to simulate a scenario that would be for the IoT hub scenario as well. So this kind of shows, and this is kind of similar to what we did with Twitter. So if we take Twitter out and we put in devices and sensors, and then essentially send that to an IoT hub, or in this case, I send it to an event hub, that basically gets brought in, and then in this reference API, let me look at this, Time Series Insights. Time Series Insights essentially ingests the JSON coming out of these services and puts it into its column store database, and then gives you all of that rich visualization on top of it. And so it was just introduced. I was at Hannover Messe, which is this large manufacturing conference in Hannover, Germany, about a month ago, and it was just announced. And so we were essentially demoing this particular Cortana solution to people that were there. This is a slide that pertains more to Time Series Insights and to Cortana Intelligence, but there's some links here that can give you more details about what it costs for Time Series Insights. There's a demo environment if you want to try it, as well as being able to explore your own data. We're also looking on something like, let's say you go out and you decide you want to go deploy one of these. We're going to have a test drive environment where you'll be able to test drive some of these out in Microsoft subscription and not your own. And so if right now, let's say that hypothetically you don't have a subscription, or you've used your trial subscription and you want to try some of these in the near future, you'll be able to use our test drive capability too. So in here, that top link actually is a link from Microsoft.com. The link there in the middle is to solutions, and then the two on the bottom are short URLs. The CI solutions go to the solutions, and the CI tutorials go to the tutorials. So the Time Series Insights and the modern BI one that we looked at today are on the tutorial side of this. So the next thing I want to do is just kind of run through this and kind of talk about, you know, kind of what, you know, see if this makes sense since we went through it pretty quick. So what you would do as a user, the whole idea behind Cortana Intelligence, whether you're using it for your business or using it as a salesperson or just as a person wanting to learn more about the space, you go out and you discover and find a solution that you want. You would then, so this one takes you to tutorials, and so you can see the time series insights on the far left, and the orange one in the middle is the data warehousing modern BI one that we did earlier today. And there's others here as well, including the VMs. And then you would go in and learn about them and decide, you know, this is something I want to deploy, or you sit here and go, okay, well, 1245, I can afford this. This looks like something that I can get value from, and it's pretty unaffordable, or pretty affordable, this one. And then what you would do is you would basically click on deploy, and that's what this would deploy. So in about 15 minutes, it would deploy two event hubs, Stream Analytics, Azure ML Workspace, a SQL database, time series insights, embedded Power BI, and blob storage, and without having to do anything in the portal. Essentially, it's going to do all those for you. You click on the resource group link, and all these things are there, and they're all glued together, so you don't have to, you know, start and stop anything or anything. It's ready to go. The other option that you have, and I'll when we go back to the demos, I'll demo this, is some of the solutions have try it now environments. And so if you want to just see a Power BI report of what some of the output will look like, you can click on try it now. You don't need a subscription to do that. It opens up a Power BI, embedded Power BI, and kind of shows you an example of what the output would look like. And so that's another great way to kind of see if it's something you want to look at. If you're in manufacturing and you want to look at quality assurance, maybe you want to see if it's something that looks interesting. This is kind of what the environment looks like. Like we looked at before, you can interact with this because the data is cached inside the report, and it's an environment that's sort of a free environment to mess around and play in. The next thing we can do, and we went through this, is you can actually click on deploy. So after you've maybe tried it, then you're going to click on deploy. For the same case, in the case of the quality assurance one, which had to try it now, you click on deploy, or the time series insights, you click on deploy. Then it brings you to this page. Now, this page, you're always going to have to give it a name. You're going to have to pick your subscription, and if you don't have a subscription, it won't let you get to this point because you actually have to log on to your Azure subscription. And then you're going to pick a location. Southeast Asia would be probably the location closest. And again, it could be any location in the world that you want to deploy this to that supports this application. When you click on create, and see, this was actually the thing for me when I was here a year ago. Let's say that I said demo one, and everybody in the room last year would have went, oh, I'm going to deploy this. I'm going to call it demo one. At the time, we all would have been fighting for a storage account called demo one. So there's certain services in Azure that have to be globally unique. And at the time when I was here a year ago, we weren't set up to basically do globally unique. So we would have been all fighting to get the same service, and a bunch of our stuff would have failed. Now, if I call mine demo one and you call yours demo one, we put a 14, 15 character hash on the end of it that makes it unique for any of the global services like storage and database that have to be unique. And basically that hash is unique to your subscription, so you don't have to worry about any kind of clashes. But last year I was sweating when I finally realized that was going to be a problem. Now, you saw this. I put in my SQL Server user and password the one that's the orange one, which is the modern BI one. We actually collect one user ID and password, which works for Hadoop, SQL, and goes across multiple products, as an example. After that, this is the part you guys didn't see because we didn't let it run, but basically it goes through and it runs each of these pieces. So it says, I'm going to create a storage account, which is using an ARM template. It's then going to bootstrap a function, so it's actually going to create an Azure function, which we're going to go look at in a second. It's then going to, you know, copy a Azure ML experiment, run it, and then deploy it as a web service. That's actually done through a function as well, because ARM doesn't support that. ARM supports creating a web a workspace for Azure ML, but it doesn't support the copying and running and deploying as a web service. We then, you know, create all the other Azure resources. We prepare the database, because when you create a database with Azure Resource Manager templates, it doesn't create tables, right? So you have to go back and say, run some data definition language and basically define various table structures, load up some data, and then it creates a Power BI embedded environment, starts the ingress process of getting the tweets coming in from the Python program, and then at the end, it starts the stream analytics job using a function as well. So this is probably a good, and then this part you guys saw, this is the part that gives you all the directions of what to do next. So, you know, please, if you have a chance to run this one or the other ones, and if you have problems, just, you know, send us emails on the CISolutions@Microsoft.com. We looked at this already, and we're going to go look at the functions now. At this point, when you run this, you can do whatever you want to do in Azure. You can delete stuff, you can add stuff, you can stop the stream analytics job and add additional inputs, add additional outputs, make changes to the query, anything you wanted to do. And then this part I wanted to talk about, you know, how do I find this afterwards? I've deployed it. If you go to start.cortanaintelligence.com/deployments, that will take you to this screen where you'll be able to see your deployments. If you're in the inside of the gallery, under the description, this is this really little hyperlink here that says here. If you click on this, it will also take you back to the same place. Now, the reason you want to go back there is because you've deployed something already. You didn't delete it because you were using it, and now you need to find it again. And then in the case of running the one, because we do have one that costs $300 a day, it has like a global Cosmos DB that, you know, a document store, which is globally distributed, so it costs some money for that and for some of the ML pieces. And if when you run one of those, all you have to do is highlight in the deployment and then click on cleanup and clean up deployments, and then basically it's going to start deleting it. If you go to the Azure portal, you're going to see that it's actually deleting. Over here on the left as well, you see it says time series insights using Twitter. If you click on that, if you have multiple solutions that you've run, you can filter to because in this particular subscription, I have a lot of different solutions because it's used by our dev team. So let's go back. I'm going to come back to this. We'll finish with this, but I want to kind of show you where some of the things are in functions and where you would go change the app settings if you wanted to do some stuff there. So let's come back and conclude with this. But let's go here, and we'll go back to Dev Days. And if we look at our Azure function, and there's documentation in the instructions on how you would do this, and Mark showed you guys this earlier. So we have a number of different functions here. And if we go to, you can see there's a upload PBIX, there's a start streaming job, there's a Power BI, couple of Power BI functions. If you go to settings, platform features, they move this, platform features and then application settings. And if you scroll down to the keywords, you see Twitter keywords. Basically, if you come in here and you make changes, again, we're pulling stuff now for this conference, but if I wanted to basically change this and go, you know, at Data Snowman, because that's my Twitter handle, and I wanted to do, my son's Twitter, and maybe something about the soccer team he plays for, whatever the scenario, I would enter those in there, click on the save button, and when I click on save, the Python program now starts pulling tweets for those keywords, those hashtags and mentions, and they get put into the same time series insights. They go into the same database as well. You could, of course, go into the database and truncate the table if you wanted to. So if we wanted to look at SQL Server, here's the SQL Server table. There's a connection that has the link to SQL Server. And then you can just basically log on with Management Studio or whatever you're using, and then you could truncate the table, and then the new tweets would go into the new clean table as an example. So it is a solution that you could build in 15 minutes and use for multiple purposes, or run in 15 minutes, throw it away because you've shown the demo that you wanted to your coworkers at work, and then you delete it, and that type of thing. So wanted to show you where this information is. So if we scroll down, here's the SQL Server information here. So it basically puts in the markdown the database server that you would use in Visual Studio or Management Studio, the database name, which you wouldn't need, and if you're using Power BI, maybe you would, but if you're using Visual Studio, Management Studio, the username, we pretty much don't give the password, although we could, but we don't because we hope that you're putting it in there and you want to remember it and you wouldn't want to put that password on there for maybe others that have access to your same subscription to see. Okay, so let's go back here and then finish this off. We got about 5 minutes and I just wanted to talk a little bit about this. Now, sort of the thing, so why Cortana Intelligent Solutions? It's, you know, it's easy to get started. So if let's say you're coming here because you're already an Azure user but you don't know as much about the Cortana things, and this would be a way to do that. Maybe you're completely new to Azure for the first time. So this is a great way to get started. You can scale and customize this as well. So I mentioned there's about a dozen or so system integrators globally that will help. I think there's four solutions right now that have system integrators that'll go help a customer. They'll say, this is great. I like this IT anomaly insight detection. I want to do this and I want to deploy this for real. And some of the partners can go in and help a customer do that. And so there's this sort of rich partner ecosystem that we're trying to build up as well. And then in bold at the bottom, for me, you know, it's a great way to learn about Cortana Intelligence, and which it doesn't matter if you're a customer, a software vendor, or a partner. Everybody has to learn this at some point, and they're gonna find something in the catalog that they don't know anything about, and it should be helpful in that regard. Now, this is the, you know, I already gave you the CI solutions at Microsoft.com for feedback. Also, if you are an ISV and you're, you know, let's say you're working here in Taipei and you have a customer that has a streaming need and you say, well, this Twitter thing's kind of a toy Darwin, I don't want to do Twitter. I want to go to this customer and I want to, you know, use stuff as it's coming off of their line as they're building chips or devices or whatever they're doing. I want to take that and I want to build it with real data. If you want to do that, let me know. And we actually have this capability where you can actually build a custom solution. And so you could actually take the existing solution and change it. And then you could actually share it with others. So it's in your storage account. You can share it with other people. And anybody you share it with can actually run the solution. But nobody else can see it. And then the other scenario is if it was something that you wanted, it was a solution you wanted Microsoft to publish because it was something that would help you, drive your business and stuff like that. We could actually publish it as a tutorial or a solution as well. I don't know if anybody is interested in that, but if you are, just send me an email and we can do that. But anyway, we've got 2 minutes left, but I wanted to thank everybody. And again, I'm right before lunch, so I'm going to let you guys go. But thanks very much. Thanks for letting me be here last year to kind of get this product over the hump where we actually got to go public preview. We're hoping to go to GA, sort of global or sort of general availability sometime, sort of yet to be determined. This is something that... takes all of the Cortana things and you know, it, from a composition perspective, every single service has its merits, but when you can put them all together and have this end-to-end solution, especially if you're talking to business people or somebody that have a problem, you're going to have to take that, you know, that data snowman and say, okay, here's the solution, this is what the business wants, I got data scientists that are going to help with this and they're going to do the algorithms in the middle, and I have engineers that are going to keep all the different pieces running, but you can start with this solution to kind of get started, because you have to get started to iterate on that process. So thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the conference. If you're interested in stream analytics and IoT Hub and some of that stuff, I've got four sort of mini sessions tomorrow. So thanks for your time and have a great lunch. Thank you.